Could we read together, please, from the book of Romans and chapter 5? If you're not familiar with the book of Romans, it was written by the man that we came to know as the Apostle Paul, and he would be the first to admit that he wasn't a very nice man before he met Jesus. He was very religious, but he wasn't very kind, he wasn't very loving, and only discovered really how wrong he had got it when he met Jesus. And this is what he writes in chapter 5 to the Romans. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. God will add his blessing to the reading of his word.
As I was with David earlier this week, sometimes a Bible verse comes into my head when I'm with people, and over the years I've sort of come to know that that's one of the ways that the Lord speaks to me. And the verse that came into my head while I was with David was from Psalm 40. So I'd like to read a few verses from Psalm 40 to begin. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and he set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand, and he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Every Christian can read these verses and say, that is true for me, that he lifted me out of the pit. This morning I spoke about faith being like a rope that you cling on to, and Christ pulls us in to the presence of God. We don't deserve it. It's by his grace, his power, that we can be in relationship with God. And just think about that pit, a deep, deep pit. There's no way we can get out. We can climb and fall back in again. We climb, we fall back in again. But God can lift us out when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This very religious man, the Apostle Paul, on the surface, very respectable. On the surface, knew his Bible inside out. But he was in the pit too. Appearances can be deceptive. We have the obvious chaos, and we have the hidden chaos. But all of us, if we're honest, know at some point in our life, and maybe even tonight for you, that we're in the pit. and we need someone to lift us out. The Apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, he said his problem was coveting the 10th commandment because he was so competitive. He had to be number one. And it was like a cancer inside him, this drivenness to succeed. And he said it was like an idolatry. He worshipped being top dog. As in Romans 7 talks about it, he says, respectable on the outside, on the inside, if you really knew me, you'd know I was in the pit. And it was Jesus Christ that actually rescued him on that Damascus road. As he was on his way to arrest and execute Christians, God in his mercy arrested him and turned him around, and now he's written most of our New Testament. Isn't that amazing? That's how God works. He's so full of grace. The two testimonies we've heard tonight, how Fiona spoke about the presence of God meeting her even before she knew what it was all about, but she had this unmistakable sense of God drawing her time and time again to a place where she could hear good news. I don't know if that is in your experience too, that you just have this hunger that's in your heart that you didn't put there, but it's there. And then Dave's story of how God picked him up. God never let him go through all the difficulties, and now is giving him a secure foundation on which to build his life, because now it's not just being part of a friendly church community. And by God's grace, we are a friendly church community, but that's not enough. That's not enough to sustain a life of difficulty. And, well, you heard the testimony. Being a friendly community is not enough. He needed to find Jesus for himself. He needed to put his feet on that rock. And what is that rock? Well, the Apostle Paul, he sums up in one sentence. I'll just find the slide here. I'm going to ask Mike if you'll find the slide. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And this life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What is that solid rock that David and Fiona need to hear tonight? It's that God loves them. That God loves you. Does God love you? Can you say these words tonight? He loves me. He loves me. God loves me. Not God is love. But God loves me. He loves me. Because sometimes things happen in life which cause us to doubt God's love. Isn't that true? That things happen that we can't understand why that has happened to us. For we know that in all things God works together for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But at the time, we are confused. Why is this happening? And it's so crucial that we have this this fact, this foundational fact, burned into our hearts. And he loved me and he gave himself for me. Life-changing love. That's what we need. Because when we know that, it changes everything. So we need facts. Jesus Christ died on the cross. We read in Romans there, objectively, the objective fact is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the world that was in rebellion against him. On the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." Christ did not just die for the people that loved him. Christ died for his enemies. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for you and for me. And when we understand that he died so that we could be in relationship with him, that he died in our place to take the punishment that we deserve for rebelling against him. God, who is perfect, sent his perfect son to pay that price. So that's objective fact. And you might be a kind of objective fact person tonight. And if you are, then I'm pointing to that fact. Christ died for everyone, and he died for you. But I want to encourage you to pray for more than just the fact, to pray for the feeling. It says here in verse 5 that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that he's given us. That is knowing that you're loved, having a deep assurance that you're loved. It says that the Holy Spirit speaks to us and tells us that we are God's children, that we're loved. And on the days when things are falling apart and we're not proud of ourselves. We're not proud about the mistakes we've made. We're not proud about the way we've spoken to people. We're not proud about the sins that we've gone back to when we knew that they were not good for us. On these days when we feel so low, we can look at the cross and know that God sent his son to die for sinners. But we can also know that what the Bible calls the witness of the Spirit of God in our hearts. But if you're not a believer here tonight, then this is for you too. That this first point is the most important point. He loved me and he gave himself for me. I just want you to leave this place tonight with that phrase ringing in your ears. Christ loved me. Christ gave himself for me. And as you ask God to show you more about what that means, that you might begin tonight on a journey of exploration, of reading one of the Gospels. Perhaps the Gospel of Mark would be a good place to start. And in your head, have the question, have the prayer, God, would you show me that you love me and that you gave yourself for me? And I guarantee you, by the time you get to the end of the gospel, you'll see it. Because all the gospels end with God's gift of his son dying on the cross. The second thing which I want David and Fiona to take hold of tonight is death to the old life. And David referred to this in his testimony. He even said, death to the old life. And the way that the Apostle Paul describes that, he says, I was crucified with Christ. This is a difficult concept. But on the next slide, it just shows a man carrying a cross. Jesus said that if you want to follow him, you have to take up your cross daily. What does that mean? It means that we have to die to selfishness. We need to stop living for ourselves and start living for God and for others. And that's a daily process. And there are things in our life which we need to put to death. In Colossians 3, 5 and 6, it says these words, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. And a warning, because of these, God's judgment is coming. He says to the Christians, and I say this to David and to Fiona and to all of us here tonight who are Christians, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of such things as anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language. You see, to be a Christian is not only to know God's forgiveness, it's to live a new life. But just as we could not come into relationship without God's grace, we can't live each day without God's grace. And that's why we need to always remember he loved me and he gave himself for me. And the final point is that we have a new life in Christ. He says, this life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. There's a picture here of vine and the branches. A really simple message. But the simple stuff is often the stuff that we don't do enough, which is to simply to abide in him, to remain in him, to come close to him. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. You remain in me and I in them, and you will produce much fruit. In the baptismal tank, I shared with David that he is God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And we are to cooperate with him every day because he knows how to do it. And he shows us how to do it, and he gives us the power to do it. And finally, Fiona, I shared with you a verse about that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. That there's a really important point of balance here that we need to take hold of. And some weeks you might hear me emphasizing this one, and other weeks you'll hear me emphasizing this one. But both are equally true. And it's that God is at work in you, and you need his power every day, and you need to abide in him for that power. But don't make the mistake of thinking it's really passive, because it's actually more like a fight, like a battle, where you need to take hold of the truth and you need to make daily choices to serve him. And over time, as you do that, you develop godly habits, and the ungodly habits lose their power and their grip but it's a lifelong process and it's a lifelong battle. And I just want to secure that foundation tonight in this teaching. That the foundation is he loves you and he gave himself for you. Never forget that. He loves you and he gave himself for you. And that will encourage you every day. But you are called to live a new life now. And he will carry that work on until the day you see him face to face, and you will be changed, and you will be like him, and you will spend eternity with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us everything we need to live a life which is pleasing to you. We thank you for your grace and for your love. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit and for your word. And as we leave this place now, having rejoiced and celebrated Fiona and David's baptism, we pray for them now. We pray for that foundation to be secure every day. He loves me. He gave himself for me. We pray for the power of the Spirit to live this new life, to leave the old life behind. And we pray for that fruitfulness, that life of love, which will draw others to you. And we pray for any who are here tonight who don't know you, that they too would know that you died for them, that they may live forever. And we ask all these prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen.